You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. It was on this date in 2001 that nearly 3,000 people were killed as 19 Al-Qaeda hijackers seized control of four jetliners, sending two of the planes into New York's World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon, and the fourth into a field in western Pennsylvania. I thought I might come on and talk just a little bit about the history of terrorism throughout the world. I thought I might do a little piece on Alexander Hamilton, who was appointed the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury on this date, but it just didn't feel right. I thought I had to sort of address 9/11 and sort of its importance, especially in our modern culture. Now, while terrorism as we know it today is a rather modern idea, actually, the term itself is actually quite old. The word terrorism actually comes from the Reign of Terror, instigated by Maximilian Robespierre in 1793 following the French Revolution. Robespierre actually had enemies of the revolution killed and installed a dictatorship that stabilized the country. He justified his methods as necessary in the transformation of the monarchy into a liberal democracy with the following quote, "Subdue by terror the enemies of liberty and you will be right as founders of the republic." And that's the sentiment that really ushers in modern terrorists who believe that you can use violence to make a better system of government. But this is also sort of where we see the end of the characterization of terrorism as being a state action. When we think of terrorism in the modern sense, we tend to imagine it being carried out by rogue individuals or perhaps a group of coordinated criminals. If we flash forward from here, from the 1700s to the 1950s, we see a rise in guerrilla tactics by non-state actors, especially terrorist groups with national agendas that have formed in many parts of the world. For example, the Irish Republican Army grew from the quest by Irish Catholics to form an independent republic rather than being part of Great Britain. And we also see a similar thing with the Kurds, with the Kurdistan Workers' Party. The 1970s sees our first step into international terrorism with events such as the 1972 Munich Olympics, which were politically motivated by a group called Black September, a Palestinian group that kidnapped and killed Israeli athletes preparing to compete. Black September's political goal was negotiating the release of Palestinian prisoners, and they used spectacular and sort of theatrical attacks to bring attention to their national cause. Here in the United States, we saw groups such as the Weathermen that grew increasingly violent and eventually started setting off bombs to protest the Vietnam War. Take one more step into the 90s and we sort of enter into what we recognize as modern terrorism. With the fall of the Soviet Union in 1989, we saw a black market emerge, starting to flood the market with AK-47s and RKG-3s and weaponry that was otherwise used in times of war, now being used by radicals. Additionally, as technology has improved, so has our ability to distribute information, and thus our cycle of mass media has made it much easier for terrorists to instill senses of fear and terror. Now, there's nothing incredibly political or even really all that original I have to say about how to fight terrorism, but in most cases it seems like the best method for fighting terrorism is to carry on business as usual. If you will recall, a couple of days ago we talked about the Battle of Britain and how wartime production continued despite bombs falling on London. This is where we get that poster that says, "Keep calm and carry on." Much the same way, when we encounter terrorism, we need to carry on with our lives as best we can. If we do become terrorized and start panicking and losing some of the joy that we experience in our day-to-day lives, that is how the terrorists start to win. To speak just personally on this matter, in my opinion, I think the best memorial we can offer to victims of a terrorist attack is to rebuild as quickly and painlessly as possible. I really do adore the One World Trade Center. It's the tallest skyscraper in the Western Hemisphere, but I think it would have made a much larger statement if we had simply rebuilt the Twin Towers and carried on business as usual. Perhaps making the buildings one floor larger and one room wider to signify that we will always get up better than we were knocked down. Of course, this is not to criticize how we did handle the rebuilding process. 9/11 is undoubtedly a scar on America and is not to be underconsidered. Well, thank you for joining me. This has been a very brief history of terrorism. Remember, if you like these little history segments that I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Just click on the community tab, go down to On Demand, and find a history segment that interests you. We've covered everything from Aaron Burr to World War II, so there's sure to be something that interests you there. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.